Congress gets its hands on the plan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The U.S. House today takes up President Obama's proposal that he hopes will jumpstart the ailing American economy. His more than $800 billion stimulus package is set to pass the largely Democratic chamber in a partisan vote. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Republicans will have a chance to introduce and debate their own alternative ideas for stimulating the economy before today's vote. Their plan focuses much more on tax cuts. Yesterday, Democratic leaders bowed to Republican pressure, stripping money out of the stimulus package that would have paid for family planning programs and improvements to the National Mall in Washington. But the House bill still includes more than $500 billion in money for new infrastructure projects and aid to states and cities. Before the final vote, several Democrats will have a chance to introduce their own amendments. One, introduced by a North Carolina congressman, would require the Department of Homeland Security to buy textiles that are made in America. Another, introduced by a New Yorker, would add $3 billion in funding for public transit. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Earnings reports this morning. Wells Fargo Bank lost $2.5 billion in the fourth quarter. That doesn't include its purchase of Wachovia at the end of the year. Wachovia also had big losses. Boeing, the aircraft maker, lost $56 million. Profits fell at AT&T, the telecommunications giant, about 24% in the quarter. Revenues were up slightly. Stocks were up slightly yesterday. The Dow gained more than 0.5%. It's at 81.74 just before the opening bell. NASDAQ and S&P shares gained about 1% each. Asian markets closed mixed today. Japan up a little. Hong Kong down a little. Europe's trading higher, 2-4%. Events got underway today in Switzerland for the big economic forum in Davos. More than three dozen heads of states are there, as are business leaders from around the world. Who's not? Rock stars and supermodels. They are casualties of a deep recession and a need to bring attention to the economic fallout. More from Sarah Gardner.
More than 2,500 are expected at the World Economic Forum's yearly GabFest, but the headliners won't be the kings of capitalism. They've been chastened. This year, the big names are political leaders like Russia's Vladimir Putin and Britain's Gordon Brown. The theme, shaping the post-crisis world. Former Reagan official and economist Clyde Prestowitz says, ironically, it's a crisis that many Davos types helped create.
I was at a meeting about a year ago at which people from Lehman Brothers, for example, said that they had stress tested their investments in their systems with every kind of shock and that they were shockproof. And, you know, then a year later, they're gone.
Many Wall Street execs have either nixed plans to attend Davos or cut out the lavish parties they traditionally sponsor there. PR guru Howard Rubenstein told Reuters banks should avoid, quote, thumbing their noses at taxpayers during a time of austerity. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The Veterans Administration announced this week it'll pay $20 million for exposing vets to possible identity theft a couple of years back. The case began when a laptop was stolen from the home of a VA data analyst. Five veterans groups agreed to the deal, which gives money to those who can prove they suffered actual harm, especially those who had to monitor or fix their credit. LA Times columnist David Lazarus has had his own bout with identity theft. His credit cards were stolen from his gym locker recently, and the crooks went on a citywide spending spree. David, it's eerie to think about the frequency of these types of crimes. What was it that stood out to you?
I was astonished at how quickly this happened, because within a half hour of my theft, the guys at Toys R Us running up nearly $500 in goodies. I don't even do that at Christmas time, for goodness sakes. Then he's immediately at Best Buy buying an Apple laptop, then off to another Toys R Us, then back to the same Best Buy, and then off to Target, where he tries to buy $575 worth of stuff. And thank goodness the banks are now guessing that something is amiss and turning down the transaction.
They put the kibosh on it.
It took them long enough, but finally the system started working. working.
So you went to the police to report all this. What did they tell you about how common this is?
I was amazed when I was giving my police report and the officer who took my report said, you know what, we have some shifts where the only crimes coming over the transom are identity theft and credit card fraud. Mm. He said that since the economy went downhill, these crimes have started going through the roof.
You know, I hardly ever see anyone checking my photo ID when I pull out the credit card to charge something on it. What did the card company say about the fact that the thief was not showing ID for these purchases?
Well, when I started investigating what had happened to me, that was the biggest surprise of all. It turns out the credit card associations like Visa and MasterCard say that only a signature check is sufficient. They can check IDs if they want to, but, and this is very important, it is not grounds for turning down any transactions unless the merchant sees some other grounds for being suspicious.
Have we really gotten to a place in time where the inconvenience and the delay of checking a photo ID outweighs the costs and the ills of identity theft?
I think it's astonishing that we are now so inured to the idea that plastic is the way to go and that, even more importantly, fraud is a part of the equation, that we're willing to accept fraud for the sake of convenience. Moreover, that the credit card companies are prepared to swallow a degree of fraud so that they can get the $3 trillion in transactions in credit and debit card purchases every year. That, to me, is the more extraordinary thing. It's like saying, you know, it's okay if your house burns down because we'll rebuild it. A smarter approach is to say, look, let's prevent the house from catching fire in the first place.
All right, so what do consumers do to protect themselves against this kind of fraud?
Check your plastic, use a good strong lock at the gym, for goodness sakes, but always stay on top of your credit card bills online. And then when this does happen, and it probably will happen, you can do a fraud alert on your credit file. But bottom line is, it's all about you. You have to watch your own situation. No one else is going to watch it for you.
David Lazarus, columnist from the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.